Hi, word nerds and history geeks. You're tuned in to Say What?
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 What? What?
What? I've probably mentioned it, but when I think of a word for the podcast, I often have no idea if it'll be a winner or if it'll be a dud. It's not like I have an encyclopedia, a dictionary, and a thesaurus in my head, as much as I like to think I do. Like a while back, I got super excited to bring you Murphy's Law, but it was a flop. Like, really boring, so I ditched it. And I half expected to have to do the same when I decided on today's word. Troll. I figured it would be clear-cut etymology. You know, the ogre from Northern European mythology, a troll under the bridge, and while it is that, it is also so much more. It's also about wandering, fishing, and even cruising. Yeah, that cruising. And that means we may have to talk about George Michael. Who's with me? I'm Jo Vraca, and each episode I'm going to rub shoulders with the glitterati of language, where we'll learn that some of the more colourful and even, dare I say it, humdrum words that we use every day have remarkable origins. From true crime to music and pop culture, religion to social movements. Where do words come from? Who came up with them? Who polices them? What is the secret history of the words we use every day? Let's find out. When you think of a troll, what do you see? A horny, warty monster that eats people and lives under a bridge? An amiable green monster that likes a girl troll called Fiona? And what about big boulders that litter the Scandinavian countryside? Or maybe when you think of a troll, you see supermodel Chrissy Teigen. And you would be right on all these counts, because troll is another deep well of tropes, myths, cultures, religion, fantasy, and the early days of the internet. But before we get started, let's be clear about something. The trolls I'm talking about today are not the cute little plastic toys we collected in the 80s that had wild fluoro hair. If you're holding on to any of those trolls, don't let them go. You will make bank one day. Okay, let's start at the beginning. In the beginning, trolls were giants, although sometimes they were dwarfish, but they were monstrous, anthropomorphic creatures who sometimes have magical powers. Sometimes they live in castles, sometimes in mountains or under a bridge, and they wreak havoc after dark because trolls cannot bear sunlight. In fact, according to Norse mythology, a troll who's exposed to the sunlight will turn to stone. Some people say that the craggy hills that you see in the Scandinavian countryside are trolls who were actually turned to stone when they encountered the sunlight. The Viking Age was from 793 to 1066 CE, and Norse mythology relates to Scandinavia, which is made up of Norway, Sweden, and Denmark. And just like the Bible, written hundreds of years after its events occurred, the Nordish prose Edda, written in the 13th century and known as just Edda, was a definitive text about Norse culture and mythology, written from the point of view of Christianity. And it was like an encyclopedia with four sections. And the first, which is what we're interested in today, was the prologue called Gylfaginning. I think that's how you say it. And it gave a euhemerized retelling of the stories of the Norse gods. And the word euhemerize simply means to tell a story as if it is true, like the Bible. And just like the Bible, Norse mythology also talks of a great being that created everything, Ymir. And that primordial being created the first two humans, Usk and Embla, Adam and Eve. Are you seeing a bit of a connection? Anyway, there's an apocalyptic end, forces of good and evil, icons, amulets, souvenirs, you name it. The Norse gods are sometimes described as human Trojan warriors who left Troy when the city fell and were like refugees from the Greek War. But back to the Edda, and specifically the Gylfaginning, because it's here that we find trolls.
A wit dwells to the east of Midgard in the forest called Ironwood. In that wood dwell the troll women, who are also known as Ironwood women. The old witch bears many giants for sons, and all in the shape of wolves. And from this source are these wolves sprung.
And later,
Thor had then gone away into the eastern region to fight trolls.
And just like some of us, trolls do not like humans. The word troll from the Old Norse troll has meant over time fiend, demon, or even werewolf. The early origins of the word are largely unknown, but we do know that the Old Norse trilla meant to enchant and to turn into a troll. So what or who were these trolls, and what do they have to do with, say, Kanye West? Well, philologist Mark Lindahl, and remember that a philologist is someone who studies the written language, Lindahl suggests that what sets trolls apart is that they're beings that have not been Christianized, which makes them scary, and also they have a habit of, you know, kidnapping people and eating people. So to Lindahl, trolls are akin to fairies in other cultures. You know, they're nature beings, but they're just not as cute as a typical fairy. And trolls are afraid of lightning, which was Thor's superpower, and Thor was the great god in Norse mythology. So that explains why we don't see trolls today. After thousands of years, Thor got really good at throwing lightning bolts, and he did away with trolls. Although we're also led to believe that it's the peal of church bells that keeps trolls away these days. In Old French, in the late 15th century, the verb troller was used as a hunting term. So we go from its late 14th century meaning, which was to roll from side to side, to trundle, to the French definition, to wander, to go in quest of game without purpose. In the late 16th century, we start to see a few more definitions, such as to sing in a full rolling voice, and to fish with a moving line, but that's possibly a confusion with the words trail and trawl. We sometimes get that in language, but I do digress. I know you came here for the modern incarnation of the word troll and not about the physical monsters. Here's where it gets really interesting though. Given the basic definition of a troll, you know, hates humans, lives in the dark, waits for prey, jumps out, eats and runs away, you can see how we got to today's internet troll. And this took me down a very long, very dark bunny hole. But first we need to define a modern day troll. According to the Urban Dictionary, a troll is a person who, on a message forum of some type, attacks and flames other members of the forum for any of a number of reasons. A troll usually flames threads without staying on topic, unlike a flamer who flames a thread because they disagree with the content of the thread. Also, a troll usually has nothing worthwhile to add, but they continually hijack the thread or the comments, and that's also called threadjacking. A troll, on the other hand, might just make inflammatory posts with the intention of irritating regular members of an online community or a forum. Who remembers the early days of the internet? I'm talking BBSs, bulletin boards. They were like Reddit, but really basic. No images, no links, and you needed a dial-up internet connection. While the modern definition of the internet troll might be disputed, we can pretty much assign it to these bulletin boards of the early 90s. I'm going to get super geeky now, so pull up a chair, wet your pencil, and start taking notes. In the early 90s, when I was a postgrad student at the University of Oregon studying languages and linguistics, I was introduced to the internet by Jeff. At the time, the term trolling for newbies was an inside joke that long-term users thought of as a positive act. What's trolling for newbies? Well, it's when someone starts a discussion about a topic that's been hashed and rehashed over and over, knowing that older members are going to roll their eyes and ignore it, but it brings in newer members who haven't seen the original post, so it invigorates the topic and invigorates the board. By the late 90s, this sort of trolling lost its sheen as more people got into the internet and joined the communities, and they were being bombarded with plenty of newbies. They didn't need to troll for newbies anymore. So if we head back to the early definition of a troll as a creature who lures its victims or waits to pounce, there's a pretty natural progression to the Urban Dictionary's troll, who is also an old, unattractive gay man who hits on young men. Often this is called cruising too, and that's just sex without the drama. Anonymous, or as Erica Jong called it in Fear of Flying, a zipless f***er. And for this type of trolling, I leaned onto the Atlas Obscura, and that led me to Polari and Meatrax. Hold your horses. Polari, which is also known as parlare, which means speak in Italian, is a mix of romance languages like Italian, French, and Spanish, as well as Romani, rhyming slang, and some Yiddish. While its origins are not so well known, it's said to come from the 19th century and possibly as far back as the 16th, and was used by carnival folk, magicians, criminals, prostitutes, and the like. Words like naff and zhuzh have entered modern language thanks in part to Polari, which was kind of a secret language. Now, I think there's a whole episode about Polari, but for now we'll stick with troll. In Polari, to troll meant to walk about looking for trade, and trade meant sex. So in the gay lexicon, trolling is a synonym for cruising. So you could say that time when George Michael was arrested for lewd behaviour in a toilet block, he was trolling. But really, as long as it's consensual, right? Now look, I like a bit of Wikipedia, and I encourage you to search for the term troll relating to gay slang. I'm not going to talk about it here, but I will leave a link in the show notes because there's some juicy, albeit questionable information, especially under the heading etiquette. Now, let's talk about internet trolls. And you know, a troll is really just a cyberbully of the worst kind because they can hide behind the screen of anonymity, although sometimes they will put their name to it, as we'll find out in a moment. In Searching for Safety Online, Managing Trolling in a Feminist Forum, Susan Herring suggests that the obstacle for tackling trolls is also free speech. Online communities like Reddit, Twitter, and the rest of them make a point of championing free speech, which means that they can also be cesspools of trolls. And even eBay has had trolls, like Charles Fitch, who would troll eBay users, especially small businesses, by placing high bids, not paying, then posting a bad review. And there's Sean Duffy, a British 25-year-old who trolled a 16-year-old girl who died in a car accident. On her tribute page, Duffy posted a photo of flowers and the comment, "Used car for sale, one useless owner." Today we also have Russian trolls, not dolls, trolls. And they're the ones who interfered with the 2016 US presidential election, among other things. The Russian trolls used and still use bots and fake social media accounts to discourage people from voting or trying to sway the votes. There are supposedly five types of Russian trolls, and really you could probably relate these to any type of troll. According to Darren Linven and Patrick Warren of Clemson University in South Carolina, they analyzed around 3 million tweets made by 2,848 Twitter accounts that were linked to trolls. There are left trolls, right trolls, hashtag gamer trolls, fearmonger trolls, and newsfeed trolls. And just quickly, let's define those. You know what to expect from left and right trolls, right? Left-wing, right-wing trolls. And newsfeed trolls profess to be local news networks and post positive stories about Russia to Americans. The hashtag gamers are not limited to Russian trolls because everyone uses hashtags to trick Twitter and Instagram. And the fearmonger trolls simply share disaster news that's often fake.
Fake news. The fake news. Fake news. It's fake news.
And you know what? Even Wikipedia has trolls. Those are the people who supply misinformation just for the hell of it. So kids, do not use Wikipedia as a source for your school essays. Primary sources only, okay? And you know, if you think we've scraped the bottom of the barrel of the trolls, there's also the neo-Nazi troll army, and that's what they call themselves. They have encouraged the trolling of Jewish and Muslim members of parliament and leaders. They've also faked Twitter accounts saying that they are black, gay, and claiming to support Trump and despise Biden, and they make it a point to call attention to how black, male, and gay they are. And really, they're probably none of those things. And the thing is, most trolls know that they're trolls. They're thrilled by the chaos they cause. Like when someone uses the phrase, "Okay, boomer," that's troll behavior. Or, "What a snowflake?" That's another troll. And the one that everyone's using at the moment, "Karen," that's trollish. And our celebrity friends feature plenty of trolls too. Like Kanye West, who when Bill Cosby was released from jail, tweeted, "Bill Cosby innocent." That's in all caps with a lot of exclamation marks. Honestly, Kanye, you're a troll. And Eminem did a good job of trying to troll Donald Trump in 2016 in his song campaign speech, saying, "Consider me a dangerous man, but you should be afraid of this damn candidate," calling the presidential nominee a loose cannon. Then there's Chrissy Teigen, the model and oversharer. I have to say, I didn't know much about her, but she really is a horrible troll. She enjoys trolling her husband, John Legend's fans, with quips like this one. "I love John fans that hate me. It is the best. You're so right. I don't deserve him. He should be with you." And then there's a time in 2011 when she cast serious shade at Avril Lavigne with this corker. "If you told me I could have one kid, but it would be exactly like Avril, I would choose to have a barren, sterile existence that ends when I die." Holy shit, she's just mean. And then there's some really fun brand trolling. So that's when brands or businesses troll other businesses. Now, for those of us not in the US, you may not know the toilet paper brand Charmin.
Hey, it's Jeff here. I thought I'd interject, or maybe I'm trolling, but anyway, as the only American in the room, I can confirm that it's Charmin and not Charmin, as in, "Mr. Whipple, please don't squeeze the Charmin."
In September of 2018, they ran with an epic troll on Twitter with an image of a pack of pumpkin spice loo paper and the tweet, "Annual fall PSA. We do not make pumpkin spice toilet paper. Even
Charmin
isn't that basic. Take that, Starbucks." And there were the kids who bought a billboard for their dad's 50th birthday and included his photo, his phone number, and a lovely birthday wish. Poor guy got around 15,000 texts and phone calls on his birthday. So how do you troll a troll? Let's take a leaf from Pink's book. When a troll commented on Twitter that Pink's music sucks, she replied, "Yeah, but at least I suck while singing our country's national anthem, and you just suck by yourself on a dirty couch. Hashtag winning." And while trolling is not a crime, some communities are fighting back. So that's why you'll see newspapers who are forcing commenters to register their name and email address before they can make a comment. And there are also Redditors who have taken over trolling communities and changed them into nice places. So what about the word troll in other languages? How do other countries refer to trolls? In China, the word that expresses our modern day use of troll, you know, the mean internet person, is bai mu. That literally means white eye or eyes without pupils. And that refers to someone who is blindly talking crap, oblivious to feelings. In Korea, they refer to trolling as fishing, and someone who is trolled is a caught fish. Naksi. In Portuguese, they use the anglicized word troll, but those who want a more authentic word may hear complexo do pombo exadrista, which translates to chess pigeon complex, and it's used like this. Arguing with John Doe is the same as playing chess with a pigeon. It shits on the table, drops the pieces, and simply flies off claiming victory. In Thailand, they've gone the literal 1980s toy doll route and use krian that means internet trolls. The word krian is the term used to describe the close-cut hair of schoolboys, and that's because they're annoying and disruptive. Now, don't confuse trolls with sock puppets. That's when someone assumes an online identity in order to deceive. Like getting people to create new Gmail accounts and then write positive or negative reviews on Google or Yelp or TripAdvisor. And that, my friends, is why I don't believe reviews. So if you're not like Pink, how do you deal with trolls? Well, don't feed the trolls. Trolls are being deliberately provocative. They want to start arguments. So remember back to school, teachers would tell you that the best way to deal with a bully was to ignore them. And the same is true of trolls. Ignore them or even try some church bells. And now for today's creative cursing from around the world. We're in Serbia. And this one is for Anna. Jebemti sestro uvo gluvo. Your sister in her deaf ear. Maybe try it out on your teacher when they tell you to just ignore the trolls. Now, I'm going to be taking a break for a little while because Jeff is going away on an art retreat and I won't have anyone to do the post-production for me and the sound engineering. You might want to listen to some old episodes and I'll see you in about a month. Remember, as long as you subscribed, you'll be notified as soon as a new episode drops. See you next time. Say What? The podcast was brought to you by me, Joe Vraca. Sound engineering by Jeff Willis. You can follow the show for free on Spotify, Apple, and all your favourite apps. Look for Say What the Podcast. You can also find me on Instagram at Say What the Podcast, where I share some of my favourite and sometimes least favourite words.